Welcome to Auntie Kiko's podcast. Enjoy!
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the first edition of the Clatched Podcast in 2023. Happy New Year, everybody. This is your girl, Yvette Kikuyu, a.k.a. Amaka, the original, the certified, the recent character developed. What? Yes, the recent character developed, Amaka the Gismonger, because you people, this weekend, the kind of were I don't see for my life, the kind of shege is the pidgin term. And for those who don't know what pidgin is the slang in Nigeria. In Kenya, it's the equivalent of sheng. And you guys know that, you know, spiritually, I'm half Nigerian, even though I don't never collect passports. But there's just the way those people connect with me. They're my people. So today, let me say the kind of shege. Character development. I don't collect this weekend. First class, so no be economy. So this is Heartbreak Hotel Part 2. And I'm probably going to regret this in a couple of years. But I'm also the kind of person who believes that, number one, therapy is expensive. And number two, your story could inspire a generation. Because there's probably somebody out there who is going through the same thing as I am. And they do not know how to navigate it. And probably their situation is even worse than mine. So this is just me voicing out my story, sharing with you guys, and just reminding you that it's okay to fuck up and make mistakes and regret them and learn from them. I don't know where to start this podcast from because I've written down a couple of notes, but I feel that I am my truest self when I don't script stuff, when I don't need to sound intelligent, but I need to sound human and just tell my story. Maybe this will help somebody who's going through the same thing. I don't know. But one thing that I've told myself that is that me, Yvette Kikuyu, when I die, you people do not have to write tribute about me because my podcast will tell my story. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? My podcast will tell my story. So this is Heartbreak Hotel Part 2. And it has been a beautiful revelation of a lot of things today. Some that I take full responsibility for and some that were me throwing caution to the wind and just saying, fuck it, what's the worst that can happen? And trust me, if you see my eyes right now because of the kind of tears I've cried, hey, you say, Amaka, who sent you? Who sent you? See how they don't disgrace you. But my own disgrace, oh, is very first class because they disgraced me in the promenade of the palm by the beach. You know, be character development where your Uber driver is asking you, oh, where do I take you? Thank you, Dubai, for giving me such a beautiful home. So, here goes nothing. I was living my life jejeli. Do you understand? Everybody say it with me. I was living my life jejeli. No problem, no stress. Work-wise, I'm going through something that I feel in the beginning when it happened to me. I was like, oh my God, what is happening? What have I done to deserve this and such stuff? Like, it really shifted my balance and my priority. I'm not ready to talk about it now, but you know me, that I'm going to talk about it eventually. So for now, just go with the flow and listen to the story, okay? So work-wise, in December, I went through a bit of a situation and stuff like that, and I'm still going through it right now. So weirdly enough, that shift in my energy, that punch in my gut made me start to seek myself more. And as I sit here right now recording this podcast, it's just making sense because everything is coming full circle because Every time they say when God chooses someone and anoints them and wants to bless them, he has to take them through a journey where everything might not make sense. It might be rough, rugged. There might be a lot of pain and turmoil. But when you get to the other side is when everything about your journey is going to make sense. And I personally believe I'm going through this right now in my life. 2023 has come with a very weird energy. I cannot explain it. It's not making sense even to me, because me, Amaka, chief fornicator, queen of the streets. Oh, did I say streets? Forgive me. Hello. I meant lanes, queen of the lanes, because there's a difference. Streets is the gutter, you know, by the sewage pipes. Me, I'm in the lanes. Oh, I'm doing bougie shit. I'm enjoying my life. But at the end of the day, the same shege, the same man that is giving you a halal on the street is the same man that will give you shege in the lanes. But it's just that in the lanes, his mind don't open small. You know, he gets small sense. So he will understand this one. I cannot give her pro max level. Here it's giving premium. You know, those people who are shopping in the basement of the mall, as we are shopping on the mezzanine floor, on the bougie floor. That's what is the difference between streets and lanes. Anyway, I go back to say this. This year, I have been going through, I don't want to sound preachy, but there's no other way to sugarcoat it. I think I have been going through a spiritual awakening. For a very long time, my relationship with God was very transactional. You know, I go to him in my deepest, darkest moments. I would whisper a prayer and just be like, and I would kind of like reverse psychology him, and I'd be like, ah, you say you're the God of orphans. You say you're the God of this. You say you're the God of that. Please free me from whatever I am going through. At the end of the day, it is you. I'll give thanks and praise because your might no be my might. But then this year, I just felt like after the situation of what I was going through at work, and then another shege, which I collected from Heartbreak Hotel Part 1. If you've been a big fan of this podcast, you know what I'm talking about. And I just like, ah, God, I know me as I am. I'm doing my part. I'm doing my best. I'm not saying that I'm holier than thou. But you know what they say? Hey, every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. And me, I want my future to be bright. That's why I love wearing shades. Do you understand? But in every situation that I call upon him, I find myself just hearing a weird voice saying, God, a voice inside me that says, Yvette, I am trying to love you. I am trying to show you the way. I am trying to bless you. But you still have doubts in your heart. You still have pain that I know you've gone through that have probably made you lose faith in me. I know you have been hurt a couple of times that has probably made your spirit doubt me, but I am trying to tell you, invest in a relationship with me and I will show you glory. 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 This resounding message has been echoing in my life since the since the 25th. And it has come through a lot of testimonies, a lot of pain. Let's take it back. I have this one friend. She's a very smart woman. She's the kind of woman who I can proudly say impossible does not exist in her dictionary. She's a woman who has defied many odds. She has defied a lot of thinking and stereotypes here in Dubai with regards to what you can achieve and who you can become. And allow me to explain this point. You know, when I moved here 16 years ago, there was a certain caliber, a certain threshold, a certain beginning and end of what success looked like for Kenyans. And it was simple. They would say, you either get a job in retail, you either get a job in a school, you either get a job in a hotel, and if God loves you, you'll be picked as cabin crew. That means, you know, you're the creme de la creme and you're beautiful and everything. So that is the kind of mentality that a lot of Kenyans come with to Dubai. And I feel that like majority of us start in this industry, and then slowly as your eyes open, your third eye clears, your korokoro eye, as Nigerians would say, your eye clears and you realize, why am I putting myself in a box? Because I know I deserve more. I am capable of more. And of course, there's exception to the rule. There's the outliers of people that I know who are plucked from big jobs back home, and then they come and they're placed here and they live amazing, lavish lives. These are people with more experience. These are people who've worked for Fortune 500 companies. Pardon my voice. As I said, I've been crying all night. If you see the size of my eyes right now. Anyway, this story is coming from far, but allow it to land. Just, you've given me your time so far. We're 10 minutes in, so allow it to land. So this friend of mine, she came a few years back, and we have a very deep relationship. And she's the one person who would call me before she makes a major decision. She's the one person who would consult me when she needs some clarity or advice on certain things that she's doing. And for me, that has always made me feel validated in a very weird way, because I don't have any brothers, I don't have any sisters. And sometimes just to feel needed and wanted, and that someone can value your lifestyle and your thought process and how you carry yourself to entrust you with this level of decisions, it's a very beautiful feeling. Let's not lie to ourselves, you know? So this babo, God has been shining his lights on her life. And let me tell you, the transformation over the last 2 years has been amazing and beautiful to watch. So we still talk once in a while. She'll call me. She's like, oh, Yvette, I want to go back to school and do this. What do you think? X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. We're not everyday friends. And this actually brings me to another point. She's a friend of mine that I met, and we were in a squad. And she's the reason, or this squad is the reason why I don't do squads anymore, because I just personally feel it's not vindictive or judgmental or anything, but it gives love triangle. One person will be talking about the other person to you. The other person will be talking to you about the other person. And then one day you will say something that will be misconstrued because the other person went and told everything to the person you talked about. And I was just like, it's very messy. It's giving Real Housewives of Dubai, and I am not in the mood. So yeah, let me guard and guide my energy. Yes, that's about it. And I was like, you know what? Squads are just not for me. So this particular person then reaches out to me around Christmas season. For those who know me well, and like I said, hey, this is me telling my story, real, raw, and relatable. I'm not here to convince you or confuse you, to make you feel like I'm holier than thou or anything, but this is my fucking story, so I'm going to tell it in my own words. So this particular girl, I'll be very honest, in this squad that I was in before, she's the only one that was intentional after and would reach out to me and be like, hey girl, how you doing? I just feel like you're not okay from the kind of memes you're posting and stuff like that. So I'm just catching up with you to find out where you are physically, emotionally, and mentally. And we don't talk every day, but the day we talk, we catch up for hours. So she kind of became my baby sister, you know? So just before Christmas, and again, I'm sorry I digress. Christmas is a very sensitive period for me. Just it's that moment towards the end of the year where I take stock, and sometimes it hurts a lot because it makes me realize, oh shit, Yvette, you might be winning in terms of career, you might be winning in terms of your self goals, but in terms of emotional capacity, the last few years have been very tough, you know? It is that one constant reminder that I do not have a nuclear family of myself and for myself. I say of myself because I haven't created one. I am not actively dating with a purpose. I'm dating to fornicate, unfortunately. This is my truth. And I don't come from a family because both my parents are late and I don't have any brothers and sisters. So during Christmas, it's... it's a struggle and a reminder that there's still areas of my life that need improvement and fixing. So 2 weeks to Christmas, we had a call and everything, and this girl was basically just going on and on and on and on about her attitude of gratitude. And she was like, oh, Yvette, when I moved into this city a couple of years ago, you are my goals because I saw how you live your life and you just have fun and you do you. And I was like, when I grow up, I want to be with you. I want to be like you, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. You know, those candid conversations that just feed your soul and feed your spirit and make you realize, I might actually think that I'm not doing this thing called life pretty well, but in other people's lives and other people's eyes, I am winning. So let me toot my own horn and like celebrate myself. She really gives me that that just reassures me, like, it might not be making sense now, Yvette, but I want to tell you that we see you and we appreciate you for who you are. Anyway, this is me tooting my own horn for very long, so I move on. Then fast forward, another friend of mine calls me. And this is like, I think on Christmas Eve. And she's like, hey girl, how you doing? Blah, 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 X, Y, Z. She's like, so there's this dinner and I'm pretty sure you've been invited. And since we stay in the same area, I was just wondering what time are you going so that we can catch cruise together? Ah, I said dinner for where? I don't know. Maybe my invite got lost in the mail because I never receive them. And I am not going to lie, this might actually sound like a really benign, petty, and basic thing, but this broke me. And I will tell you why it broke me. For the last 2 or 3 years, like I said, I used to be part of a squad. That was our thing. Every Christmas, they would come over to my place and we would just sit and play games, Kenya 50-50 and this and booze and have fun and listen to music. This year, this girl got a house of her own. And let me tell you, and I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, her house is fucking beautiful. It looks like something that was literally pulled out of a Pinterest pin board. It's amazing. So it felt good that, wow, like we're all leveling up. We're all winning. And I was like ready to go and celebrate someone and hand over the mantle. You know, like, again, this is going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn. One thing about me, Yvette, is I know I have confidence on steroids. And for a very long time, I used to avoid it. But nowadays, I just own it. And for some people who are going through stuff in their life, they probably get intimidated by how I carry myself. But for the people who recognize me and see me for who I am, they actually value it and be like, girl, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, or teach me your ways. So there's a very weird way that confidence can either welcome you or exclude you from certain rooms. And with this comes a lot of pain because there's some people who will appreciate you and there's some people who will be intimidated by you. And this is your fucking daily reminder. If you're a person who has confidence on steroids, when you walk into a fucking room, you own it. My dear sister, my dear brother, this is not an excuse for you to tilt your crown or to shrink to fit into spaces that you don't belong. Be you, because everybody else is taken. I have tried the former and the latter, where I try to fit in. And unfortunately, and I say this categorically, I'm not doing it anymore because I cannot be struggling to fit in when I know that the glory of God is upon my life and I was born to stand out. And that is on period. So, as I said, this gets me included or excluded in so many spaces. My invite was missing. Right. This is Christmas. I have no plans. In fact, during the Christmas season, I just retreated into my spirit. I watched a lot of TV and I started falling in love with myself again, because that character development from Heartbreak Hotel Part 1, if you've been, again, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know which episode I'm talking about. As I said, I'm here to write my own eulogy. You people don't have to write anything about me when I die, okay? No tributes. This is my story. So Heartbreak Hotel, as much as I'm healing from it, it made me realize that I had put my own values, my own self on the back burner for a long time in this quest of finding love, finding a man, finding my happily ever after. And so Christmas was a season where I wanted to defy all odds and just be like, okay, I'm craving this. I would love to be in this situation. I would love to be invited to this party and just be with these babes and stuff and celebrate and feel included and understood. But that didn't happen. So I then took it upon myself and said, okay, at the end of the day, you are stuck with yourself, Yvette. And these are those silent battles that maybe you people in Kenya take for granted, because, you know, the road to your village, you have the contact numbers of all the people you love. They reach out to you even when things are not good, and they just say, ah, it's Christmas, come over, let's chomanyama and have some drinks and enjoy. But living in the diaspora can get very lonely and very dark. And it hurts. I'm not going to lie, it hurts. It's those petty things that might not make a lot of sense to a lot of people, and someone out there might think like, okay, Yvette, I think you're taking this too far, or you're being too emotional about this. But these are my feelings. So allow me to feel my feelings. They might be mundane, mediocre, minute, tiny, small, petty to you, but it doesn't discount that raging feeling, that burning sensation that I'm feeling within me are my fucking feelings. You might not relate. It might not be your story, but this is mine. So allow me to feel my feelings. So yes, I was not invited to the party. Moral of the story. And it hurt me, because these are people that I welcomed into my space. And I thought over a given period of time that during Christmas, they actually saw me for who I am and what I was going through, and constantly engulfed me with love and chose me and were always there for me. But then them not choosing me this year made me feel like, so you guys just needed a table and a house, somewhere to plate your meals and sit in commune. That's it. Like, you literally used me for my walls and not who I am. And this is the thanks that I get. That is exactly how I felt. And for a very long time, I've been a people pleaser. Ah, me vet. I'm like, okay, I will shout. I will come. I will go and cry in the shower and everything. And then I will get over it. But then therapy fucking told me. Therapy fucking taught me and said, Yvette, boundaries. We are not gonna sweep anything under the carpet anymore. Do you understand? Whatever you feel, get it out of your chest. I know I talk a big game and everything, but me, Yvette, I don't like confrontation. I don't like fights. And if you see me fighting you, it means that I must definitely value the relationship that we have. And that is why I'm having an out-of-body experience, to allow myself to be vulnerable with you. Because at the end of the day, a lot of people will tell you emotions are a sign of weakness. And sometimes the less they know, the better for you. Because the more you express yourself, the more you showcase your emotions, the more bullets you give them to use against you. And this has been my mantra for a very long time. And that's why, as one of my other friends say, and this has been a resounding theme in our lives over the last few months, Yvette, sometimes you have to see the end from the beginning. Do you understand? But me, I want to see the beginning from the beginning. Let's fight. Let's care about the end later. Do you understand? Because right in this moment, this is how I'm feeling. These are my emotions. And I'm not going to suppress them because I know the end is coming. I will tell you and show you how I feel in this very moment. And that is what happened. And I came back home that night. The place where I chose to have this conversation was ideally not the best place. I'm just going to be honest. But you know what they say when the alcohol kicks in and, you know, you lose yourself a little bit, which is a clear case in point of what happened today. I just lost it. And I was like, come on, buy and buy. And then the worst part, it was on the 31st of December. So I just said, you know what? Me, Yvette Kikuyu, I'm not carrying this burden, this pain into the new year. I'm going to say what I feel right now in this moment. I know we're in House of Janos. We're supposed to be vibing and having fun. But I am not carrying this wahala that I'm feeling in my spirit into 2023. And I ended up saying things that, frankly speaking, I don't regret, because that was like my first situation where I was very explicit about boundaries and telling what I feel. And yeah, so that's another relationship that I guess isn't working at the moment. And I feel sad because I really like this girl. We have a lot in common in terms of TV shows, in terms of our thought capacity, in terms of the things that drive us and motivate us. And I enjoyed feeling needed and wanted. And probably she doesn't know this, but I also go to her for her counsel because she's always great at offering a different perspective of things that probably I would shadow or not pay attention to, but she would bring that to light. And I don't have that. But anyway, we move. Such is life. Yes. So, I've gone round this story. But that is now to tell you where my spiritual awakening began. So then Christmas, I spent it on my own. Came New Year. Me, I slept in 2022 and I woke up in 2023. I'm not going to lie. I did not do anything. I did not wake up to scream. I did not see the fireworks that everybody talks about in Dubai. I did not. I beg, 15 years in this country. Like, it's a beautiful thing, but certain things just don't excite me anymore. So I slept in 2022 and I woke up in 2023. Happy New Year, everybody. So as I woke up at around 2 a.m. on the 1st of January. I switched on my YouTube channel. And there's this guy. His name is Apostle Joshua Selman. My friend had sent me his videos months ago. But you know those ones, you just see one link. I beg. All this scripture. I don't have time. I don't know why, because of YouTube shorts and everything, I now started watching his shorts. Ah, hey, God, oh, talk about massive, grand revelations. Like, this guy was talking, I was having an out-of-body experience. My blood was crawling, my skin had goosebumps, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, please, I beg. Me, I'm a sinner. I'm more spiritual than I am religious. Do you understand? So I'm like, why? This, I haven't felt this feeling in a very long time. Like, church? What is church? And it is so weird because another one of my best friends who relocated to the States, and I occasionally meet her sister, Doris. And whenever we sit and everything and we talk about religion and spirituality, you know how you have those branches where you meet like at 3 o'clock and you guys are always on time because everybody else is coming from church and they're late. And I'm like, what? We just came from church. Tumetoka church. And you're just like, wow, mimi nimetoka kwa nyumba niko na hangover na watu wametoka kuomba. Wow, amaka, see your life. So there was one day that another lady, and this lady can be very condescending, was like, oh, why will it change? Squeeze it to Wendangi church. And from nowhere, this girl, Doris, just jumped into my defense and said, church is not a place. Church is in your heart. And in that moment, on the 1st of January, I heard her voice playing in my head from nowhere, saying the same thing. Amaka, church is not a place. Church is in your heart. It caught me off guard. And I'm not saying that it was like looking at myself and someone talking. It was that inner voice that you suppress for a very long time. His first sermon was about gifts and talents. And it was around, there are a lot of people out there who God is trying to call, and they have this raging fire in their bellies. And he even says, ministry does not have to be you standing on a pulpit and preaching and quoting the Bible. Ministry is in your everyday deeds, knowing good from bad, knowing right from wrong, knowing up from down, knowing north from south. And everybody has a compass of life. But it's just because we choose not to follow the direction that we are guarded and guided towards. And when you fall back and don't rely on your internal compass for long, it stops working. But this particular service was to recharge and restore and validate everybody who is struggling to listen to their inner compass. And I just say, I never thought I would be one of those people who would be giving testimony, but look at me now. So those words caught my attention. And I even added volume and I said, okay, let's listen to this guy. Interesting. These are random YouTube short videos, you know, like how you would listen to content. Sadhguru will pop up from one place. Stephen Bale will pop up from one place. Diary of a CEO. Abel Mutua will pop up. And then this guy, Apostle Joshua Selman, just popped up. And then this happened. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? And the way my heart started beating, I now even switched off the lights and I just lay down on my couch. And if anybody knows me, that's my favorite position. I lay down on my couch and I closed my eyes and I just saw like a wave of my mom. Fun fact, whenever I am, this might sound like juju, but I don't know why the fuck I'm confessing this right now. Whenever there are certain times in my life that when I'm about to make a decision, I see my mom from far. As all of you know, she's late. She passed away in 2014. And there are times when I see her close to me, like she's literally like in front of me. But then those moments where I feel she's far, those are the moments where I'm deep in the streets. And it's like she's looking at me saying, whose child are you? But these moments where she appears and she's like literally in front of my face, and it's so quick. It happens in a heartbeat. It's like, voo! I cannot explain it. And when she's here, in those moments where I have to make a choice. I have to make a decision. And it hasn't happened in a very long time. I haven't seen her close because of my ways and my sins. I've been seeing her from far. But this close, I haven't been seeing her. And when I see her close, it normally comes with a weird energy. Like I feel like it could be 45 degrees hot, but it comes with like a wind. That same energy that I just expressed right now, that's how I feel it. And I even feel that cold in my body. It's like I freeze for half of a second and I'm like, maybe it's in my head. Maybe it didn't actually happen. And I fought it for a very long time. And for a very long time, I thought it was my village people chasing me. But then I prayed about it, I prayed about it, I prayed about it, and the consistency in the same messaging, I said, ah, then probably this is from above, or let's just accept it and keep moving. So this happened. And in that moment, normally, I would fight that feeling, saying, ah, I bet you too much in your head. Ah, please, these things are too spiritual for you. Just do you, babe. Like, live your life. Do you understand? But then I found myself listening to Apostle Joshua Selman and listening and listening and listening. As I said, I slept in 2022. I woke up in 2023. By the time it hit me that I was sat in the same position, the sun was coming up. And I don't know what happened to me on that day. I don't know. On my own, oh, in my house, oh, I don't know. I cannot explain it. I cannot say hands were laid upon my life. I am now religious. I am now retiring from the lanes. I am now not into sin. I am holier than thou. No, me, I'm still a sinner. But that day, there was just something that came over me that I cannot explain. Fast forward, I have this friend of mine. She works here in Dubai. And occasionally during the week, we meet up, we catch up, just for vibes and banter. Like I said, Dubai can be a very lonely place. So some days we break bread and we eat and we just rub minds, console each other on the challenges and the madness we're facing in life. And she's been coming to me and she said, you, Yvette, whenever I come, you have content that you're watching. For the last 3 times I have come to your house, na ministry, we are watching on YouTube. I say, my sister, me too, I cannot explain. I cannot tell you that I understand everything he's saying. I still do not know how to navigate the Bible and everything, but there's just a certain peace that comes with listening to this guy's preaching. And I feel like he's one of the preachers who connects the head and the heart. He uses logic, and then his proof of concept is, you know what you're feeling and what I'm saying is right. So don't fight it. Embrace it. Very interesting guy. Ah, very nice. Very, very nice. So yeah, that happened. Me too. I understand. Mercury is currently in microgrades. This started in the middle of December. So Mercury being in microgrades, I have this page that I follow, and this now goes to show, like, I feel like sometimes, and this is one of the issues that I had with religion, sometimes wants, the way it's purported, it wants to put you in a box, to limit you, not to use your sense, not to explore, not to understand. There's a girl I love following, her name is Sweetie Nyalkano. Some of the things that she says are preposterous, and I might not believe in them. But because she does her research and she backs it up with facts, it makes my mind travel and think, she might actually have a point. I see where she's coming from. It does not mean that she's trying to convince me to believe in her way of thinking or her way of life. Do you understand? But then for a very long time, I felt like religion boxed me, and even to accommodate her content and her information was me going against the will of God. And that is not right. His love is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Again, I apologize if I sound preachy. Sometimes you could be going before God and he would tell you, you know, you Yvette, you're a scammer. You're a scammer. I say, God. Yeah, I've never scammed anybody. Maybe emotional scam, you know, maybe catfish. I have scammed somebody. What I look like on Instagram versus who I am in real life. Those ones small. But you never know. Maybe the scamming is in your future because God is omniscient. So he sees your life in entirety. He doesn't see your life based on where you are right now. So he can be seeing something that is in your future that you've not seen for yourself because you have not lived it yet. Do you understand? And that is the point where he's now saying, Amaka, you're a scammer. And at that point, when he shows you that, that's when you should be praying for grace and say, hey, God, remove this thing from my destiny in Jesus' name. Do you understand? So I've digressed. Gosh, Amaka, you're becoming a preacher. So, Sweetie Nyakano, her content is very provocative, but at the same time, it's information and it's educational, and I love it. And for a very long time, I would feel like a part of my spirit was itching and going against my grain of existence and living, because she would back her content with facts and I'm like, but as a Christian, I should not be feeling this. You know, she's speaking against Christianity. She's speaking against organized religion. Why am I connecting with her? But I've come to realize that having that capacity to expand your mind, expand your knowledge, is actually what allows you to then come down and narrow down and say, I know all of this. I might not know everything, but I'm not restricted in my thinking and my feeling. And out of all the information that I have, this is what I choose to believe moving forward. Exactly. So let's get down to the matter. Yvette, 40 minutes, you have just been going round and round. But as I said, people don't need to write tribute. This is my eulogy. You can play it at my funeral. So, a friend of mine then sends me a story this week. Say, people have made money in December. They have come to Dubai. Okay, December. Hey! And it was my ex's story. Let me sip water. That was a very deep swallow. And I used to be of the school of thought that, when you people break up, you can be friends, don't be petty, don't do this, don't do that. But it'd be like, say, there's one kind of shaggy that will come and change your DNA. That everything you thought and you thought you would think would just be erased in a heartbeat. My friend, I don't go to my ex's pages. I don't stalk them. Of course, I had seasons where I was still going through the motions of a breakup and there was hope and this and that. And I would do that. But then there comes a moment, and thanks to my fucking hardcore support group who always calls me out on my bullshit. One thing, me, Yvette Kikuyu, I cannot lie. I am blessed with good friends. I am blessed with people who are in my circle and my corner. Katusimu, tupo side. You people know yourselves. So, yeah, I went through that phase where I was actively following his every move. And then I went through a phase after where I was like, fuck you and fuck everything you stand for. We were good while we lasted. This doesn't mean that I hate you, but this just means I'm not interested in watching you and being a part of your life anymore. We can cut the pleasantries. We can cut the pretense. It's okay. You served a purpose in my life when you had to, and I served a purpose in your life. There was an exchange of energy. Our time has come. In words of Game of Thrones, our watch has ended. We move regardless. And that's how we have been. So I even had to call out this friend of mine and just be like, sis, you know that I don't watch his stories anymore. So I don't understand how this information you're sharing with me is supposed to add value to my life. I would really appreciate it if you refrain from sharing such information with me, granted that you know where my headspace is at. You know? So respect my boundaries. Boundaries are a beautiful thing. And I think I've become more unapologetic about my boundaries since I had that fight with that friend of mine at House of Janos, which I talked about before. Now I don't care. I establish them. You either take me for who I am, accept me. Because before, I used to have small fear in my spirit. I'm like, what if this person is not going through a good day? Oh, what if they have their own battles that they're facing? You know, that overly empathetic person who is always putting themselves in other people's shoes and in that moment compromising on your own feelings. But I have this one friend, she's a pocket rocket. She will call you out on your bullshit in your face. And you know, there's those kind of times you're looking at her, you're like, oops, I just said her name. Anyways, if you listen to this, I love you. You know, if you're my friend, you're potential content. So just get used to it. And she's tiny, oh, but she's small but mighty. She's a little pocket rocket. And she'd be like, Yvette, you did this. And I'd be like, ah, I cannot even get mad because I see where she's coming from and she has a point. And I fucking applaud you for having boundaries and speaking your mind. And in a weird way, just listening to her, I did not realize she was slowly inculcating the same thing into my mind. And I've been practicing it and it's a beautiful fucking thing. And you know, there's even been a situation where I called someone out on their bullshit and they were like, I've been wondering where this Yvette has been because I knew you had it in you. And it's just sad that I've had to push you for so long to get to this point to stand up for yourself without putting other people's feelings first. And I was like, it will shock you. And I've had situations where people will be like, I don't know what you're going through and I don't know why you said that to me, but I've had you. I'm going to process what you have said. And they call me the next day and be like, you know what, bitch, you had a fucking point and thank you for being real with me. So you're actually not doing your relationships any justice if you're restricting yourself and want to just circumference and rotate around the happy, jolly moments without calling yourself out on your bullshit, both of you. So this is your challenge today, to not hold yourself back when you feel those raging feelings and speak your mind, but articulate it with the eloquence and the elegance of a queen that you are. You do not have to criticize to destroy. You have to consult to rebuild. Do you understand? The delivery is what matters the most. Do you understand? Thank you very much for coming to my TED Talk. So yes, this guy, I had to tell this friend of mine, she's my very good friend. I was like, sis, you don't have to be sharing his stories. You know, I don't follow his content anymore. So why are you reminding me of my past? I don't live there anymore. She's like, okay, Amaka, I apologize. That was not my intention. I just thought I should let you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, thanks. I appreciate you for sharing. So that story ended. So weirdly enough, me and this ex of mine, back then, like one of our rituals, each time he would come to see me in Dubai, he loves dynamite shrimp, so we'd always go to PF Chang's. That day, I think YouTube played the PF Chang's advertisement like 5 times. And I was even sitting down with that friend of mine who I told you lives in Dubai and occasionally we commune. And we're like, ah, this PF Chang's advertisement is following us every. I said, oh my God, it's spiritual because I have not been to PF Chang's since I broke up with this person. And yeah, it feels weird. Like I don't even think I can enjoy their food anymore. It was more of a ritual between us when he came to Dubai to see me versus the quality of the food. It was the feeling that I got of us having our own tradition. No sooner had I said that, a message came to my phone. Hey, I'm in your city and I just wanted to catch up for lunch. So me and this ex, we talk probably 3 times a year. We will talk during the festive season. We will talk on each other's birthdays and just wish each other happy birthday. And we'll talk in the new year. Like there's no love, but there's no hate. We just respect each other, for lack of a better word. So this time he defied the odds and he was like, let's catch up for lunch. I mean, your city, let's just like, you know what? We're grown up and everything. Let's do something. So me, Yvette, I said, okay, no problem. I need vibes. I'm going through this shit at work and stuff. I've been dealing with procrastination as well because for a very long time I've been saying I need to do the podcast. But then weekends come and I just want to sleep. So I said, you know what? Okay, let's do lunch. And I decided to kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Let's do lunch. Let's do brunch. Even better. Vibes, music, excitement. And you and I get to catch up. So this is me yesterday. I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I have to do this. It feels from nowhere. I just got an anxiety yesterday. Like, oh, my God. Am I actually doing this? Am I going to meet this guy? What are we even going to talk about? Like, it felt so weird because the last conversation we both had, besides the pleasantries of happy birthday and everything, was very awkward. There's a couple of lingering questions there. And so my inner part was like, confront it, deal with it. But then another part of me was like, Amaka, just let it be. Let the universe do its thing. You don't have to get answers all the time when you need it. So there was this dual conversation happening in my spirit and I was a bit confused and I did not know which voice to listen to. Yes, I'm human. I still succumb. Yes, this is my truth. So getting ready, I said, we have to look good. We cannot look like the problems that we are carrying. Do you understand? We have to look good. So I summoned my committee of the Slay Queens. And I was like, what do you feel like we should do tomorrow? I called my best friend. We're on a conference call. I was like, should we go in hard and like dress up? Or should we just do it like casual and like, you know, chilled vibes? I'm not putting in too much effort to show you that I'm living my best life. I'm not trying to make a point. I am the fucking point. Hello? That's how I now went to collect Relaxa. And I said, I'm looking for the slick look, you know? So I had bleached my hair like 2 weeks ago when I went for my friend's baby shower. And I was like, it's giving dengu. I don't know how to explain dengu in English. It was giving you a dengu. And I was like, I want to slick it so that when I put the gel and I can do the waves, you know, we can go surfing on my head, you know? That's how... Hair that has been bleached 3 times, I went to put texturizer. Eh? As I, you know how you put the texturizer and then after 10 minutes, you now comb it out to see if it has slicked. I now look at the comb and the comb was looking at me and I said, what in the chemotherapy is going on? Sorry, this is not to make fun out of a very serious situation that is cancer. I apologize, but I just had to land that point. I was like, That's how I now went to rinse myself. And you know, it's a Amaka Beauty Salon, so it's in my bathroom. I now stood in the shower. You know those ones you're rinsing your hair, you can even, as the water is pouring down on your body, you can even feel it on your tongue. You're doing and like your hair is falling. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the donkey that took them to Bethlehem. I am bald. Awkward moment when you come out of the bathtub and then you've closed your eyes because the water is still gushing down your body and you're like, oh God, moment of truth, what is happening? And I open my head and there's no blonde hair on my head anymore. It's all black. I say, hey, wonderful. And we have a date tomorrow. Wow. Black girl magic, honey. Go to the counter, pick a wig and pick a struggle. So I was like, I don't want to do any wig. So in the morning, I woke up. This was like at 3 a.m. yesterday. No, 2 a.m. because I remember my best friend had meetings and stuff. And we normally talk when she's driving back home. Shout out Gracie. Hey! And my other best friend who I love, who's in the UK, is currently going through a hiatus. So this would have been a three-way call between us to strategize. Because this was the committee that was going to strategize this date. And then I have my other friend who, as I said, I break meals with here on a regular. And she's locally. So this would have been a four-way conversation. You know how when you watch those movies and there's that group of friends. I am blessed enough to say that I have that squad that is in my circle and my corner. And I appreciate you. Shout out, baddies. So, I was bald. So I just slept and I said, you know what? First of all, you know when you plan an outfit and you know this outfit goes with a particular look. So the dress I wanted to wear... scratch that, because that dress was befitting for a bald head. That gold look with that dress would have slapped. But now there's no hair. You're bald. So we have to start thinking we are in a fashion catastrophe. We have a situation. Houston, we have a situation, okay? So I woke up at 10 a.m. and I called my girl and I was like, Marigold, I know today you might be off. She said, no, I'm not off. Oh, please come. Please come. I went to the salon. They now glued my wig on my head. I said, phew, crisis averted. I now came home. Now we have to strategize and find out, what are we going to wear? What are we going to wear? We don't want to do too much to show like we want to show off. But also we don't want to do too little. We just want to be there in the equilibrium, balancing. I said, jeans, boots, and a bodysuit. Come on, the body's giving. Let's go. And the hair was flourishing. Went for brunch and everything. Remember, this is somebody who woke up at 10 a.m. in the morning. Today is my off day. I was at the salon at 11. It took almost an hour and a half. I don't know why my stupid mind did not order breakfast when I was in the salon. By the time I was done, it was like maybe 1:30 from the salon because they had to wash the wig and everything. And then she had to like, there was still pieces of blonde hair on my head. So she had to remove all that and etc. So it took time. And I got home. This brunch people started calling me saying, oh, we're just calling to reconfirm you're coming, blah, blah, blah. UTC, I said, yes, no problem. I said, latest, I'll be there by 2:30. Came home, fashion catastrophe, picked an outfit and I just said, come by and by, let's go, let's just do this. By the time I was leaving the house, it was like 2:45. Brunch started at 2. And you know, the essence of getting to brunch early is not that you want to be the one to open the club, but it's to get the best table so that you can be in the middle of the vibes. We got there at 3. When we got there at 3, just basic conversation, talking. But remember, this girl is on an empty stomach. And this particular brunch, let me not mention your name, but if you know, you know. They are serving aeroplane food, small, small pieces, and you're charging premium money. I miss those days when you'd go for brunch where there was like, it wasn't a la carte where you're given a menu, where there was actually a fucking buffet and you go and serve yourself. Can we bring back those brunches? Please. I understand we've gone through a pandemic. Social distancing, sanitizing, sanitizing. It's over now. Please just bring back those where we can go and serve what we want, hotel style. Thank you. I appreciate you. So they now brought us small food day. We were just managing, eating and everything. And the vibes were vibing and the convo was convoying. You know, this is another beautiful, dangerous, safe space about exes because there's history. Stories would just be flowing. And this particular ex of mine, you think me I'm a good storyteller? He can gist for days. So everything was just epping and flowing. Mistake on an empty stomach. I was drinking Prosecco. Then there was a bit of shots and everything. Then the brunch ended. We were supposed to go and plan for the after party. I don't know what happened between us coming from the brunch and he's staying on a promenade at the Palm, which is like a connection of like 8 or 10 hotel properties. So you can literally like, you know how you watch it in Miami Vice and there's that walk that is like a strip of multiple hotels and stuff. And then forefront is the beach. He's staying in a similar scenario. So we're just walking and we're like, okay, maybe after party we can go clubbing or something after that. To be honest, I don't know if I said something or if he said something. I cannot recollect because I was drunk. But the only thing I remember after that is me sitting on a bench, crying the fuck out, and the beach security literally stopped. Like, you know, they have these golf carts that just drive around ensuring everything is okay. This guy just parked his golf cart, came and sat next to me, and was like, are you okay? Do you need anything? And I remember I even recorded a story and I posted it in my drunkenness. But thank God for having a circle that is in your corner. My best friend called me as soon as immediately and said, delete that shit. Delete that shit. Thank you, Grace. I appreciate you. And I deleted it. And this guy came and sat next to me and was just like, are you okay? He was a black guy. I think French. I could tell from his accent. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm okay. Hence why I'm recording this podcast at 5 a.m. and my eyes are swollen. I don't know. All I know is that this guy walked away and left me on the promenade alone. I don't know what I did. I cannot remember. And yeah, the beach security was just there and it was like, I'm just going to sit down here until you calm down and you tell me what you need me to do. And of course, he has this over. What is that thing called, by the way? I don't know. In Kenya, we just call it over. And I can hear the over people asking, where are you? And he's like, oh, we have a situation. And there's even a code name for this. It was like code 136 near Soho Garden. I was like, you people even. So this is something that happens frequently. People are heartbroken. And even when he said code 136 near Soho Garden, code 136, he's like, oh, okay, over and out. No worries. Take your time. I was like, so I'm not the first victim. Maybe it's a spiritual thing within this area. I don't understand. So he sat there next to me. He was driving one of these golf carts. So he went to his golf cart. He got a bottle of water and then he gave me the bottle of water. And I was there. I was crying. And I was just trying to recollect myself. And he just held my back and he was like, I don't know you, but you're stronger than this and you will be fine. I promise you, you will be fine. This man does not know me from Adam. But the way he just said it, there was a weird calm. Probably even this is part of their training. I don't know. There's a weird calm that just came over me. And in this very moment again, I saw my mom. And I was like, what the fuck? Twice in 1 month? She does this like very over long gaps of time. Twice in 1 month? What the hell? What the hell is happening to me? Of course, I was a mess and everything. So this guy put me in his cart and then we drove towards like a taxi area. He made sure I was in a taxi. He asked me where I live. I told him. He told the taxi guy. This guy was even kind enough to pay for my taxi. He gave the guy 50 dirhams. He was like, JVC, maximum 50 dirhams. I was like, no, I can pay. He's like, it's okay, it's fine. It's okay. Because I was struggling to now find my card in my bag. I'm drunk. I'm crying. My eyes are swollen. I'm just all over the fucking place. And he gave the guy 50 dirhams. I did take his name, so I'm definitely going to look for him. And yeah. And I know the company he works for. Thank God for Google. So I came home. My best friend is at an event because one of her nephews is getting married soon. Congratulations, Ken. And she is in a family setting. Like, this is her moment to enjoy and just be with her people. But she called me and we had like a very meaningful conversation. And immediately after that, I passed out. And I woke up at, this was probably at like 8 or 9. I woke up at 4 a.m. And when I woke up, like, my eyes are so swollen. And you know those ones, like, you can even feel the drying of your tears on the side of your cheeks. Like, you feel like something is stinging you because tears are salty. And I'm hurt. I'm not gonna lie. Because it's not like I was hoping that we can rekindle things and rebuild things and pick up where we left off. But I was hoping that we could be cordial and just be good friends and like just banter and appreciate the memories that we shared and, you know, embrace who we are right now. But I didn't get that. And it hurts because I'm craving for love. I'm craving to belong. I'm craving to be seen. But then still a part of me just knows it might not make sense right now, but I'm hoping and praying that when it does, it makes a fucking beautiful story that can be turned into a blockbuster movie. So this is for anyone who is navigating confusion, who's dealing with uncertainty, who is craving for clarity, who is craving for belonging, who is probably feeling like they're being stripped off a lot of skins in their life and they're being molded into something and the process is so fucking uncomfortable and torturing and painful because human beings, we are creatures of habit. We like to conform. We love routine. That's just who we are. But sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, growth is fucking painful. But guess what? For you to emerge and come out on the other side, that growth is necessary. So this is me sending you love, asking you to hang on in there, asking you to be strong, asking you to tap into that inner warrior, that inner lion that you know lies deep down there. It might be a small fucking fire. Remember when I began this podcast, I said that when I stumbled upon Apostle Joshua Selman, he was talking about those people with dormant personalities. Oh my God, it just came to me right now. I have been procrastinating my podcast for a very long time because I just felt like I don't know what kind of content to share. And probably that's why I had to go through what I went through today to be able to do this now. So don't fight the process. Trust the process. And with that very long chat and self-conversation, this is me recording at 10 to 6 in the morning, 10 to 6 a.m., in the darkness with swollen eyes and one eyelash. But I'm here to say, we're gonna be okay. Until the next time I come your way, stay true, stay you, with love from Auntie Amaka. Adios, muchachos!